April 25th, 2023 HRSD meeting will now come to order. We will have a roll call. HRSD commission, please say here after Ms. Cassio calls your name in accordance with the Virginia Code 2.2-3.
Let me have to do roll call first.
Yeah, roll.
Elison.
Here.
Glenn.
Here.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinston.
Present.
Stern. Thank you. Tarosky.
Here.
Templeman.
Here.
Rodriguez.
Here.
Now, please proceed.
In accordance with the Virginia Code 2.2-3708.3b. HRSD Remote Participation Commission adopted files with Commissioner Sherm requesting approval to participate in today's meeting from Bellhaven to continue Commissioner's principal resident on more than 60 miles away from the meeting location and by a required notice meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Okay.
All right, so I have Elison for the first and Lockdawalla for the second.
Great. Now have a roll call. Please say aye. Those opposed. No.
Elison.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinston.
Aye.
Stern.
Yes.
Tarosky.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cassio. I understand there are several members of the public participating virtually today. We thank you for your interest in observing the meeting. A few reminders for today's meeting. Please keep your microphone on mute when speaking, when not speaking. And the audio of the meeting that's being recorded is posted on our website. Before speaking, please state your name. Ms. Cassio will call commissioners' names for roll call vote on each agenda item requiring action. Only public comment pre-registered, Ms. Cassio, will be accepted during the call. Understand that one person registered to make comments during the meeting?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I'll turn it over to Dave Burns for item number one.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. On this beautiful April day, we do have some awards of recognition this morning. The first one is the Service Award. This one goes out to Patrick Grace, who marked his 25th year of service with HRSD. He was hired in 1998 as a plant operator at the York River Treatment Plant and was transferred to North Shore Hospice in Interceptor Assistant in 2001. And lastly, was promoted to his current position as a heavy equipment operator on North Shore Operations. But I also want to highlight his service to our country. He joined the U.S. Navy right after high school. He was deployed 3 times on Desert Shield and Desert Storm. After that, he served the Navy for 11 years and retired at HRSD, then joined the Air Force Reserve in 2005. And he was deployed to Afghanistan twice, in Iraq twice, and served as a heavy equipment operator and demolition team leader there. So he retired from the Air Force in April 2022. So not only do we want to thank him for his 25 years at HRSD, but also to his service to our country.
Except to miss the Army. Well done.
Thank you.
And this day, we're going to take a picture. And
okay, thank you.
You can make your speech.
Okay, all right.
I see your nickname is P. Diddy. Do you sing?
No.
Do you act?
Anything in common that gave can be given me the first year, and if it's stuck, and I was not had it, so I did it.
Congratulations. You like to say something? You certainly will.
A couple things. This company's been awesome to me. I've deployed a lot with Eddie here, and the support I have, I've gotten from the company has been amazing. We've got some superior leaders downstairs with John Shepard, JT, Mark, and Eric. Just awesome people. The open door policy is just great, and I want to thank y'all because you know we get really good equipment, and it makes our job easier. And so I like to say and thank you for whatever idea it was to. It's the CEO bonus. We've been fighting that for like a long time. So I want to thank you very much for that. So, thank you very much. It's been a great company to work for. And I'm always golfing at Fort Eustis. And I talk to the guys at the gate because, they're dads, sisters, brothers, mom kind of business, that goes.
Right.
So I'm always coaching, or I'm always, you know, asking questions, and, you know, what they're going to do when they get out. And I'm always advertised great therapies. So, again, keep it up. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We do have a new employee introduction, Mr. Julian Hoff. He was recently hired as a project manager in the design and construction division, our new special projects division. She's a registered professional engineer with 10 years of experience. She's worked as a consultant and with construction firms. She's got her bachelor's degree in civil engineering with a minor in environmental engineering from ODU. So please welcome Virginia Hoff.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Just wanted to say I've really enjoyed working with you guys over the years, so much so that I decided I'll just go ahead and become an employee. Looking forward to continuing that relationship and being part of such a great organization. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. You're welcome. So in terms of awards, HRSD received an award from EPA, the 2022 George F. Ames Pisces Award. And it's not something we brag about, but we got it in the innovative finance category, because that could have a negative connotation. You know, so innovative in finance. But in this case, it actually was a great award for us. As you know, in finance, we received the GFOA award for a number of years, but this is probably our first finance award outside of the GFOA award. And what it was for was the programmatic revolving loan fund that we got. Clean Water Fund. It's where we package 48 individual projects, and we got $100 million at a rate of 1.15%. Because what was happening before, every project had to have its own closing. That closing cost money. And so, and then managing that for each project and the cost. And this became a very efficient way to manage the Clean Water Funds, especially because we get such a great rate. And it's become a model for the other SRF borrowers in Virginia. And in fact, it was also the foundation for our WIPIA loan that saved us $600 million. So, this programmatic funding loan concept has been working out great for us. So it's great that we got this in partnership with the Virginia Resource Authority. So really proud of that. And so Aaron Girardi, thanks to Aaron. He's definitely the lead on getting this, and he received the award. The other award is the Governor's Environmental Excellence Award. We got the gold award for our licensed technology called Detour. Again, this is our part of the Nitrification AMOX award. We also got an award from NACWA for this as well. But this award is from the Department of Environmental Quality and Department of Conservation and Recreation. So as you can see in that picture below, you see Secretary of Oils, Director Wells, and Director Roldan in that photo. So it's great to receive an award from the state. And with that, Mr. Chair, that's all I have for awards and services.
Very good. Thanks, Chair. Right. Consent agenda.
I'm not aware of any items to be pulled off the consent agenda, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
Approve. Dr. Ronald.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All right, good on this. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no.
Gillison?
Aye.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Stern?
Yes.
Tarosky?
Yes.
Templeman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number 3. This is for the Suffolk Pump Station Replacement Determination of Public Need for Be Simple and Easement Acquisition Resolution. Recommended action today is adopt a resolution approving the public use determination and directing acquisition by condemnation or other means of fee simple acquisition, permanent or temporary easement for the Suffolk Pump Station Replacement Project. As you know, this project has to do with the Suffolk Pump Station Replacement. We're replacing with two pump stations. As you know, we had a public meeting last month on March 28th that talked about the scope of the project, defining the public need and identifying the specific impact to the properties. But again, today, for the resolution, we have Dr. Husselby to do a presentation on this item. All
pointing on the overhead correctly, because it's not displaying the grade correctly.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So this is a follow-up to our discussions from last month. There was a number of questions that were raised about the Suffolk.
People online, can you give us, I'm sorry, Bruce, can you just give us a minute? Okay. Let's advance this and let's go a little bit. Okay, it's there now.
Good.
Thank you. Sorry, Bruce.
Morning, everybody. As I said before, it's an update briefing to the briefing I gave last month on the Suffolk Pump Station Replacement Project. So, as you all recall, this project actually combines kind of two projects. We are replacing the existing Suffolk pump station, which is off of Willroy Road, and we're replacing that pump station with two pump stations. Pump station 159 towards the top here and 160 at the bottom there. We're also, by this project, able to eliminate a large section of gravity sewer that is also in need of replacement, which was a separate project. In addition to these pump stations, we're building some new gravity sewer to connect to those pump stations and two force mains that's shown in blue there on that map that will tie the new pump stations into the existing force main in Suffolk. And as a reminder, this project is part of the rehab plan phase two project, so there's some regulatory deadlines. So time is of the essence on this project. So we'll talk a little bit more about our methodology that we use when we're looking for pump station sites. It's always invasive to look for property acquisition in areas, and you think Suffolk's way out the country in the middle of nowhere, but there's lots of development, lots of things going on even as part of Suffolk. So we used in our preliminary engineering report a two-phase stepwise process to make those selections. So we looked using our GIS maps, looked at a very high level to figure out which parcel were potentially available to meet the criteria we would need for this project. There's a number of factors that went into that. So that was kind of that first phase, first broad brush, you look at potential sites. And after we got past that first phase, we went into a second phase and we had specific scoring criteria for those sites to figure out which of those sites would actually be the best one. So, and there was a number of sites that we looked at, a very detailed effort for both those pump stations. So this is a map that shows some of those pump station sites for the pump station 159 up in the upper area and 160 down below. But we looked at a number of properties. And I'm not going to read all that criteria to you, but there was a significant amount of criteria that we used to get to this point and to make that best decision. So there's just so many factors that go into picking the pump station site, from making sure we're minimizing impacts to residents, to making sure we can limit the construction in the area, environmental impacts. There's just so many factors that go into making a good decision here. So I talked about pump station 159. I'll be focused on that this morning. The site that we've looked at is off of Portsmouth Boulevard. It's 960 Portsmouth Boulevard. And there was a number of criteria that we used that we ended up making that selection. One was its location to the existing gravity sewer. Obviously, the further the pump station is away from the sewer that we're tying into, the more pipe we have to install and the more impacts, cost and impacts to other homeowners and businesses in the area. There's a lot of wetlands in that area, environmental sensitive areas. So we wanted to make sure we were outside of that. We obviously don't want to be building new pump stations in floodplains. So we wanted to make sure we were away from that. We needed to be close to power and city water for the pump station. That was an important factor to us. We're going to be building these facilities, so construction access, making sure we can get the contractors in and out of these areas was important. We wanted to minimize the impact to Portsmouth Boulevard. That's a very busy road. The city limits access to Portsmouth Boulevard, so we wanted to make sure we were being good neighbors there. Pump Station 159, this site has a nice, easy access off of a private drive called Virginia Ham Drive, which allows us to get off of Portsmouth Boulevard and do this project, not only to build it, but to operate and maintain it too. We have large backdoor trucks, lots of equipment that needs to get into these pump stations over the years. We want to make sure we're not sitting in the middle of Portsmouth Boulevard with big equipment when we do these types of projects. And then we also needed an adequate footprint for this pump station. 159 is a fairly small submersible pump station. There are some above ground structures, but really it's a very small pump station. Its maximum capacity is only 1 million gallon per day. And then the average flow is much less than that. So this is absolutely one of our smaller pump stations. So this graphic shows some of the easement acquisitions we're looking at for the project. We've actually acquiring, we're proposing to acquire property from two property owners. The area to the left, we're ready. We've pretty much in all intents and purposes, we've acquired this area, and this purple area to the right is the area that we're needing to acquire. So we've tried to minimize the impact by acquiring from two different property owners for this pump station. In addition to the fee simple acquisition, there's some temporary construction and permanent easement we'll need to get into this property. But Portsmouth Boulevard is here, Virginia Ham Drive is here, and we would come in and then take this little corner of this parcel to be able to build this pump station. A few facts about this, the fee simple acquisition, the purple area is 33,695 square feet or 0.085 acres. The fee simple from the other property owner is 213 square feet or 0.053 acres for a total area of a little over 6,000 square feet. So it's a really small site. 0.138 acres. Our typical pump stations are typically a quarter to a half acre, and some are even larger than that, depending on the site. But this is a fairly small pump station. And as a reference point, this entire parcel is 2.5 acres. So we are acquiring about, if we acquire this purple area, it's about 3.2% of the total lot area. So we've tried to minimize the impact by acquiring just that corner portion.
The total parcel, how many acres again?
2.5 acres. And I'll show you a graphic of that in a second. And as just a reminder, we've worked with the property owner for about the last 2 years to try to acquire this property. So this map is at kind of a slightly larger scale, and I'll highlight some of the factors here. You can see this is the purple area that was on the previous graphic, that little corner parcel we're looking to acquire. This is Virginia Ham Drive that comes in here, Portsmouth Boulevard. We've looked at a number of other parcels in this area too. It's a very good place. Obviously, the sewer line comes through here, so it's good to acquire as close as we can to that sewer line. This adjacent parcel over here, there's some challenges with environmental issues, contaminated soil, groundwater issues that are concerned over here. This area, which is kind of attractive, this whole area is owned by, believe it or not, the city of Portsmouth. They have water lines in this area, and they actually own that property, be simple, not even an easement. And they're planning to do some improvements to this water line. This water line brings water from Suffolk into the city of Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. So this is a very valuable corridor to the city of Portsmouth, and our outreach to them was not successful to look to acquire land on that side. We also looked at potentially acquiring, you can see this is all environmentally sensitive area. There's a BMP here, but there's kind of a little piece in here. And this was a very kind of attractive piece to us too, on the other side of the railroad tracks. But the challenge we had here was one, these tracks are overhead through here. So we have to go underneath this overhead trestle, which is, I would say, in some disrepair. And it's relatively low. We're gonna have large trucks, things coming underneath this bridge, which was a concern. And also to be able to get this turning radius into here was going to be a real challenge to build a permanent pump station in this area. So what we're actually going to do is our proposal is to build a pump station here, and the force main will be directionally drilled across Shingle Creek here, and we're going to use this as a setup area for our directional drill work. And we are acquiring easements in this area to do this sewer force main, but it really just, we didn't see it as suitable for a permanent pump station.
You passed about this, but the land for the subject property. Is it 20 acres or is it, you keep on saying 2 point something acres?
2.5, this area. 2.5 acres.
This parcel? This whole parcel? And how much is the portion in pink?
Our area is 2,313 square feet or 0.053 acres.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
3.2% of the lot.
Okay.
The green line, that already exists.
This is the existing gravity sewer that goes through there. And obviously we want to intercept flows from that line.
The land on the other side of the railroad, the small pocket you showed.
This here? No, this here.
Yeah, that is available or it's not.
It is one shape. The folks that own this large industrial park over here, and actually they own this little piece too. So these are the folks that we looked at. We are getting clients. As I said, we are acquiring easements from these folks, but it was just a very challenge to fit our pump station into this area. And we were worried about driving underneath the square road tracks because it's a trestle that goes over top, which is, I would say the tracks are in borderline condition, to be honest with you. Well, I was just out there last week and took a look at it. There's vines growing all over these tracks. They're not in use. CSX has this and it's still a functional railroad, but I don't believe it's being used at the current time. So this is just a schematic kind of showing you, this is a footprint of the new pump station. It's a submersible pump station. So the pumps and all the controls, the mechanical work is generally below ground. We have a small electrical room above ground. That building is 10 by 14, and there'll be a small generator, about 6 by 16, and a small enclosure here. So this is all that you will see from above ground. You will see these bow balls, but there's a very limited above ground footprint of this facility. As I said, this is a very small pump station for us.
Bruce, how long does it take to build that pump station? Can you actually...
When we issue the construction drawings, we'll finalize that. But typically, less than 2 years, year and a half would be a best guess. Now, with some of the delays we've seen on electrical equipment, it might be a little longer than that. But the actual construction work, this is typically like a prefabricated structure. It goes pretty quick. I have invited Virginia Oppas here. She is with AECOM. She used to be with AECOM before coming here. She was the design engineer for this project. So I'm taking advantage of her knowledge too. If there's any very detailed questions about that, but does that sound about right, Virginia, on that?
Yeah. We slated a 2-year duration in case we needed it. Prefab building.
Bruce, while this is under construction during that period, will it interfere with access to the business?
We don't think so. And I'll talk more about that in just a second. Okay. That's on the next slide. So we've been negotiating with a property owner for the last 2 years, as I said, and we've tried every which way we can to try to come to an accommodation here. We tried to work hard on the design of this facility to have minimal impact to the property owners, and to the access. So we've reduced the overall size of the HRSD pump station from our standard. We've enhanced the security fencing during construction that we're putting in the bid documents. We've added additional gravity sewer stub out to the property to accommodate future development, if and when it would happen. We've enhanced the permanent security fence with an automatic gate to replace the manual gate currently on site. The contractor is going to leave a gravel in the easement area at the property owner's request for additional parking and property owner's usage. We're going to be installing a roll top curb and gutter to ease access into Virginia Ham Drive and potentially, you know, with those turning radiuses are a challenge. So with bigger trucks, we want to minimize the potential future impact. And then we're tunneling across the road and across that entrance so that we won't have to shut down that entrance while we do the construction of the gravel sewer. So these are a number of things that we've tried to accommodate for the property owner to minimize the impacts. Will there be zero impacts? We never promise that on any construction projects. Things go wrong, dust, noise, things, but we're doing everything we can to minimize the impact of this property owner with this project area. So there's a number of specific questions and comments that were raised either at the last meeting or we received in writing or verbally. So we tried to answer some of those. So place the pump station on the adjacent wooded parcel or the wooded parcel behind our property. And our response there was HRSD cannot place the pump station further back or in the adjacent wooded parcels due to various reasons. The BMP is back in that area. The topography kind of falls back off there. It's really not suitable for construction. There's existing monitoring wells and various infrastructure throughout the parcels. There's impediments to the constructability. The Chesapeake Bay Preservation Act has setbacks and requirements that we have to meet. There's wetlands, there's flood zone back in there. So there's just a number of issues that would limit our ability. And I think I highlighted some of those in that previous picture there. So HRSD already has the easements in place with existing manholes, and we do have easements in place with those manholes, but that is simply not suitable and it's size large enough to handle the pump station site. So we'll need additional property for that. And we'd like to have these pump stations in fee simple, not in an easement. You wouldn't want to own your home on an easement, which is why we wouldn't want to own a pump station on an easement. So it's important that we, facilities that we have to go to on a very regular basis, that we don't have folks encroaching on them. And fee simple is the way we prefer to own these pump station properties. There are a number of easements out there, and we'll be requiring more easements when we're done. But the pump station itself would be in a fee simple. Taking the part of our parcel will adversely affect our daily operations since we only have one entrance on Virginia Ham Drive. We've looked at that closely and tried to minimize the impacts. The entrance to the business will not be closed during construction. We're going to tunnel underneath his driveway. Typically, we wouldn't do that on most driveways. Construction traffic will do our best to minimize that. That trench of tunneling method will be utilized to avoid working in the entrance. The pump station and construction are located outside the turning radius for the entrance. We spend a lot of time looking at how are we going to get our trucks in and out of that area. So we've looked closely at those turning radiuses, not only for our backers and our trucks, but also for the property owner. And we will stage equipment, perform work in a way to minimize access to maintain access to our Zillow Investments property for the project and Shingle Creek, which is that other larger parcel. So asking HRSD to install a second entrance on Portsmouth Boulevard to accommodate our needs. Actually, we did talk to the city of Suffolk about that possibility, and they just weren't interested in allowing that to happen. And we really don't control access onto any roads with our project. So we threw that out as an idea, but Suffolk was not interested in that, and we don't have any ability to make that happen. HRSD required under Suffolk Unified Defined Ordinance to get a variance or a waiver. The ESCOD requirements, and the ESCOD stands for, because I wasn't sure what that meant, it was the Special Corridor Overlay District. So there's an overlay district in this area. So we reached out to Suffolk. We are in a position to get all the necessary permits. There is no special requirement or waiver that we need to get. We've confirmed that with the city of Suffolk. We're in a very good position with Suffolk on this project. They're very comfortable with what we're doing up there. Any future development may have issues with our property lines being redrawn and ask HRSD to correct these issues now. As far as we can see with the setbacks that are out there today, we don't expect to see that issue. We tried to locate that pump station in the corner where there would be setbacks anyway. There could be future, depending on redevelopment of that property, if it were to ever happen. There could be some setbacks that couldn't be negatively impacted, but that's part of the negotiation on damages. And we will address the damage issue as we negotiate with them. And we've continued to try to address that issue as we've negotiated with the property. But we don't see it as a significant issue, but we can't guarantee what future development could happen in that area. And that would be that we deal with that all the time with property owners when we acquire easements or property. They have a plan to redevelop something, and then we look at that best use and try to be reasonable with those types of issues. HRSD engineers say that our driveway would not be impacted because they have new tunneling technology. If this new technology exists, then we believe tunneling under the railroad track should not be an issue. I think the suggestion was put the pump station on the other side of the tracks. We will be crossing underneath those tracks with our project, but the tunneling alignment is different. And as I said before, we don't feel comfortable building that pump station on the other side of the tracks. That Virginia Ham Drive is the only way to get back into that pump station site. And there's limited vertical elevation in the condition of the tracks, and the limited area on that other side will just hurt us from building up there. But we will be constructing over there with our directional drill and our pipeline. It just wasn't suitable for a pump station site. Some have stated that the rail tracks or the structure crossing Virginia Ham Drive is old and deteriorated, and it's reasonable to assume that it would be costly for the CSX to make the bridge usable. The railroad still deems this line as active, so they I guess they kind of want their cake and eat it too. They consider it an active line, so we have to follow all the requirements, but we do see that that track is not used regularly and it is in somewhat of disrepair. So we have to tunnel underneath it. We have to follow all their rules, but we're very reluctant to want to be on the other side of those tracks with our facilities. Another comment, I was just reading on the site plan for the subdivision site plan that the SCOD rear setback is going to be changed. My property line is going to be changed. And it clearly says that on the SCOD setback, an HRT needs to get a waiver or variance. So HRT is responsible for and had paid all application and review fees. We've gone pretty far down the road with Suffolk on getting these approvals. We're pretty much ready to go. So we don't feel that we need to acquire or change those setbacks. We're in a strong position to get those permits once we get this property acquired. Really don't see this as an issue for us or for the property.
Do you recall what the setbacks are?
Top of my head, I cannot tell you the exact setbacks in this area. Virginia, what's on the setbacks?
20 foot? Okay. But that would be, again, included in whatever negotiations they have.
Absolutely. Okay. I met with city staff and the city manager, and he said, you guys need to get a variance and bring it for the Board of Zoning Appeals to get the variance in place. We've already talked to the staff, city staff, and we don't feel we have to get that variance. That's all I've got. I just have a couple of real quick pictures. This is the area where the new pump station will go. Part of it is on that one parcel, and part of it is on the Arzettle site, which is on the side of the stats here. So we're building this pump station generally in this area here.
Part of the site would have to be whatever is there has to be moved.
We're actually, we've offered to move all that, all those equipment things as part of the project. This is that railroad tracks we're talking about here. We would, if we went to that other parcel, we would have to drive underneath these tracks and with our Vector trucks and the turning radius to get back in there. It's just it's just highly questionable what's going to happen there in the future. And we can't build a pump station that we don't have good access to.
When the truck hits it, it's over.
You can see how many things could go wrong here.
And the railroad's not going to be allowed.
That we can wear off. And this is that other site that they said it does look attractive from a number of standpoints here, but we just, and we are going to use this for a lay down for a directional drill across the creek there, but it just really didn't seem to be suitable for the future pump station. So that's all I have. Any specific questions for me?
Hey, Bruce, any more questions? Thanks, sir. All right. Let's call for the public comments. Ms. Casey, do we have anyone registered?
Mr. Arzella, do you want to speak?
Yes, please. All right, please. Can you help me with the screens? Get me back to the first one with the layouts and everything, because I want to show some things that are not some now.
All right.
Go back here.
Okay,
Ms. Arzella, you have 3 minutes. All right. I just like to bring up for a point was when you guys first started this pump station deal. Our site wasn't even a recommended site. They chose a bunch of other sites. But the best site that your expert came up with was across Corson Boulevard. And right here, potential site 7 is the best site. It seems like you're only hanging because you're dealing with the city of Portsmouth. Your gripe should be in the city of Portsmouth, not me. The railroad trestle right here, we believe it's been discontinued by CSX. And City of Suffolk supposedly might want to try to use it as their trail. But that overpass is legal height and width. Tractor trails go up under there every day, out every day. And our site isn't even in your line. You have manholes here, and that wooded spot is an option. I don't see why you can't put it there. I read your original report. Our site is even too high. I think it's a 20-foot max lift or something for your manhole, for your sewer pump station. we're too high. You need to be back here where it's lower, because there was a chart that showed the outline of where you could put it. You can't even put it there. So I'm just asking if you guys have an option to put it there. We are going to have problems with the setback. There's a 20-foot rear SCOD setback. Going to the UDO, cannot have your drive in the rear 20-foot SCOD setback. For the subdivision site plan to be approved, a variance and a waiver needs to be done. I don't know where he's getting his information from, but clearly that's a procedure. I didn't make a procedure. City of Suffolk made a procedure. So this is where we're at. If they have this underground tunneling technology, they should definitely be able to get under those tracks and put their pump station right there. I can understand maybe not here, but over here is the best spot. Like I said, my site isn't even in the top 10 that was picked. You can pick the site here, you pick another site over here on Suburban Drive, you got drawings all done. And I believe you guys have an option. I'm hoping that you would pick up on that option instead of interfere with our operations. Because clearly, it's not the best site for the pump station.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
There was a recommendation by staff. I have a motion to approve.
Levin's approved.
Is there a second?
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All those in favor, seeing by the saying aye, they will approve. No, by roll call.
Ellison.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockwell.
Yes.
Levinson.
Yes.
Stern.
Yes.
Thank you. Taurasi.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number four. Subject is annual budget and related components. Recommended action today is receive the Finance Committee's report for the proposed fiscal year 2024 annual budget and capital improvement program. I understand we'll read the Finance Committee report.
And this is a kind of a review of what we've been doing since January. So we started in January 24th, 2023. At that time, the commission work session, the staff provided an overview of the HRSD compensation philosophy and a summary of the most recent compensation study. Staff also provided a high-level budget preview, which included describing the impacts of inflation on the upcoming budget. The commission concurred with including staff compensation recommendations in the proposed budget, coupled with the already planned 9% rate increase. Then on March 22, 2023, the capital improvement program review meeting occurred. The CIP met at that time, attended by Commissioner Rodriguez and Eve Levinson. Staff reviewed the fiscal 2024 through 2033 CIP requests. Then at the March 28, 2023 Commission work session, staff briefed the Commission on the proposed fiscal year 2024 revenues and operating expenses. Increases in the operating costs are largely driven by inflationary pressures on the chemicals and utilities, labor costs, and additional staffing needs. Staff demonstrated how the proposed budget is in alignment with the new strategic plan. Then at April 25th, 2023 Finance Committee meeting, attended by Commissioners Levinson, Ellison, and Rodriguez, the staff presented an overview of the fiscal year 2024 through 2033 CIP, along with the updated 20-year financial forecast. Changes to key rates and changes were presented and included the introduction of the new nutrient credit rates. Staff discussed updates on the CIP spend projection, water consumption trends, grant funding of the CIP, and nutrient credit rates. The internal auditors, SC&H, provided a very quick progress update, and their recommendation. recommendations for the fiscal year 2024 audit plan. At the May commission meeting, staff will provide the commission with proposed operating and capital budgets and rate schedule. If approved, the rate changes will then be advertised for 4 consecutive weeks and become effective July 1. That's our report of what we've accomplished so far.
And Mr. Chair, the only thing I would like to add is we're using a new software to build our budget this year. And by the end of this week, you should receive a draft budget, right? To the commission, so you'll get an email with the draft budget before the May commission meeting, where we'll ask for the formal vote.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your work on this. Look forward. Any questions?
Agenda item number 5, this is the revenue policy, the commission adopted policy. As you know, the purpose of the revenue policy is to ensure that the organization has sufficient revenue to fund its operations. It was originally adopted in May of 2017 and last revised in May of 2021. We do have 2 items that we talked about at the finance committee meeting, potential changes, adding the new nutrient credit rates. And then the second part is clarifying the provision for HRSD will pursue collections. So no action is required at this time. The review over the next month and a formal vote in May of this plan. Any questions?
Item number 6. Item number 6, this is the Hampton Road Water Quality Credit Agreement for Chesapeake Bay Restoration. And this is with Christopher Newport University, in agreement with them. Recommended action today is approve the terms and conditions of the agreement with the Christopher Newport University for provision of nutrient and sediment credits generated by SWIFT to meet CMU's MS4 Chesapeake Bay TMDL protection requirements. We talked a little bit about the nutrient management policy at the Finance Committee meeting, so I won't reiterate that. But CMU as a public university, they developed a action plan with DEQ to reduce their nutrients on their site. They have 3- and 5-year permit cycles. They're just finishing the second permit cycle of their third permit cycle ending in 2028. Oh, no, they finished their second permit cycle and their third permit cycle ends in 2028. And because there's limited areas on their site to add wet BMPs or other nutrient reduction devices, they approached HRSD about buying credits. So this agreement does sell credits to CMU because we do not see a tie to our regional ratepayers. They are a public university, but there's no tie to the regional ratepayers, despite we don't have that free trade that we do with other localities or with the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. But the charge is $1,042 for 5 years. And actually the next agenda item is related, because for some of these that are below like these tiny amounts, we not like them to be your agenda items, so there's a recommended change to the policy on that. But we are recommending approval of this agreement with CNU for this 5-year period for $1,042.
Per year?
No, that's for 5 years. which triggers the change to the policy.
Do we have something similar with other industry?
This is fairly new in terms of actually selling the credits. Again, that's why we had our rate model recovery rate for these nutrient credits. Other trades have been for free with like localities, like there's a definite tie with localities. HRBT, that's a regional project. But you know, with CMU, you couldn't find the tie. So this is the only one I'm aware of. I don't think there's any other ones that exist.
We
have sold, but not to universities. Yeah. We have sold credits to, we gave the credits to City of Suffolk for their water treatment plant. I think of other ones that we've
sold.
No, we got their credit. Yeah. We bought it from them. Their bonkers credit. It's just rare.
Yeah,
and we traded those for free. So it's just not often that we get these.
Second. All those in favor, 65% aye. Those opposed, no. By roll call.
E. Olson.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinston.
Yes.
Stern.
Aye.
Thank you. Taraski.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
And Rodriguez.
Yes. Item seven, this is the nutrient credit management policy. Again, this is the commission adopted policy. Recommended action, no action is required at this time. We'll ask you to review it over the next month. And in May, we'll ask for your formal vote. Again, what I just talked about in the previous item, all nutrient credit agreements go to the commission. But in this case, you know, as you saw, it's $1,000 for 5 years. What we're asking for is for these agreements to follow the commission governance guidelines and those cost thresholds that become full agenda items or consent agenda items. So the plan is that we're revising the nutrient credit management policy to allow the general manager to review them, but then also follow the commission governance guidelines on when they will be brought back to the commission. So one of the things we'll ask the ONN committee this summer in reviewing the commission governance guidelines is to include a provision for these nutrient credit agreements to follow the cost thresholds on whether a consent agenda item or a whole agenda item. We do know the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, as an example, needs 100,000 pounds of credits. And so that's obviously more like $500,000. And so that will definitely come back to the commission. So that's just an example of that. So this is what our proposed changes. Again, no action is required at this time. Just a small minor tweak to help streamline the commission.
Why does it try to be cheated? How do they pay you?
So my understanding is that due to their tunneling technology, they had to get a permit to when they're, you know, boring the hole. I don't know, Bruce, you might have to help me that the whatever they, you know, are sucking the water out, that water becomes a wastewater discharge because they're sucking up sediments and things like that can stir up nutrients.
This is during the construction.
Anytime you move sediment here.
So no action required on that. Okay, agenda item number 8. The next 4 items are all similar and somewhat related. They're all on the Eastern Shore. So agenda item number 8, this is the County of Accomack Sewer Transfer and Service Agreement. The recommended action today is approve a sewer transfer and service agreement with the County of Accomack. And so in the brief, the key highlights are listed in the brief, but essentially, The County of Accomack, they'll convey their system to HRSD. Once they convey that, then HRSD agrees to provide sewer service to the county. But one of the key parts in these sewer transfer and service agreements is the definition of a sewer service area. And in Exhibit C of these agreements outlines the specific areas that we intend to serve. Because of how sparse the Eastern Shore is, we really need to define the areas that you want to serve, because that defines the capacity of the system that you have. So just like with our metro system, we have a service area expansion policy. So in this agreement, it outlines the areas that we're going to serve once this agreement gets signed, and what are the provisions if they want to expand those service areas and who's going to pay for the expansion. So all of this is outlined. Again, it's in line with our metro policy. And then another provision is, if the county conveys property to HRSD and HRSD deems that we don't need it anymore, that we would give it back to the county at no cost. And so those are the key highlights of this service agreement and sewer transfer. Again, this is going to be similar to agenda item number 10.
Move for approval,
Blaine.
Thank you.
Is there a second? Second, Levinson. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. By roll call.
Elison.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinson.
Yeah.
Stern.
Aye.
Thank you. Taraski.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 9. This is the Town of Accomack reimbursement agreement. So recommended action is approve a reimbursement agreement with the Town of Accomack. So the whole component of Accomack, so the way it's designed, and Libby, jump to the map. If you would, or a good map of the area. I'm trying to think if it comes to the best map for Accomack.
Look for, go to Exhibit C, you know, the sewer service area, or do you want the system? Okay, Exhibit A, please.
Yeah, you can see that red line. So if you think about the Eastern Shore, we've got the transmission force main that goes up the spine of the shore. And to get to the Town of Accomack, we had to build a spur all the way out to the town. And so the entire cost of the project is $7.7 million. And ARPA funds are going to be used for this, the American Rescue Plan Act. So the state has given us enough money to pay for this entire defer and the pump station. So it's a little bit confusing in the sense that the town was awarded $4.5 million, but their project is only $2.2 million. So the remaining portion of that funds helps to pay for the spur. But then they also gave us, like, I think a little over $4 million for the spur, right, Aaron? So theoretically, when all is said and done, that entire spur to the town of Accomack will be paid through ARPA funds. So this reimbursement agreement, our contractor is going to be doing the work. So when we do the work, the town is going to reimburse us for those portions that are deemed to be the portions of the project that are deemed to be for the town.
Motion to approve, Stern.
Thank you, Commissioner Stern.
Anxious to see this happen.
All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. By roll call.
Gielison.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinston.
Yes.
Stern.
Aye.
Thank you. Tarofsky.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
And Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.
And just as a quick side note, for all of these Eastern Shore projects, there's so much money coming in terms of federal money, state money, that, you know, Aaron has developed a tracking spreadsheet and map so that we can identify and make sure that there's a tie from sources and Jason's perspective, just to keep things straight. This is for sure going to be audited just because of how the money is going to be flowing. You'll see how this next one for Town of Watsonbury, it can get really. So agenda item number 10, this is Town of Watchapree. This is a sewer transfer and service agreement, very similar to the County of Accomack. Recommended action today is approve the sewer transfer and service agreement with the Town of Watchapree. So again, very similar to the County of Accomack. They'll convey their system to us. HRSD agrees to serve this area. Again, it is tied to the sewer service areas identified in Exhibit C. And then any future expansions are outlined in the agreement. And again, if HRSD is conveyed property from the town and HRSD says that we don't need it anymore, we'll convey it back to the town at no cost. So very similar to the county agreement.
That's moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Levinson.
Is there a second?
Wait a second.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. A roll call.
Eielson.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinston.
Yes.
Stern.
Yes.
Thank you. Tarofsky.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes. Okay, agenda item number 11. This is Town of Watchapree reimbursement agreement. Recommended action today is to approve a reimbursement agreement with the Town of Watchapree. So the town approached us to construct a pump station for its main and collection system that ties into the main East Shore transmission portion, again, that runs along the spine. The total project cost is $3.92 million. So this one's a little bit trickier because it's, you know, the Accomack project is all ARPA funds. This one is a mix of variable state and federal funding sources to pay for the project. So the pump station in Fort Spain, the estimated cost is $3.07 million. And the idea is that with any money that they have left over, they'd like to apply to the cost of the collection system, but we're not gonna move forward with anything that they can't cover the cost. So we'll see what happens once the Fort Spain and pump station are built, how much money is left over. But again, the town is required to contribute more. The collection system cost is higher. And so this reimbursement agreement outlines all the terms that further. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve, Stern.
All right, I have Nancy as the first. Do I have a second?
All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. By roll call.
Wilson.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinston.
Yes.
Stern.
Yes.
Thank you. Porosky.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
And Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.
And a quick side note on the town of Watchapree. Well, we did submit called congressionally directed spending, which is a fancy word for earmark. And there are three projects that we submitted to our congressional delegation. In priority, the town of Watchapree to help fund those collection systems that they don't have enough funding for. Town of Chincoteague, that's a plant further north, and for our Onane Hawk treatment plant upgrade. So we submitted that request for $10 million. We just received word on the Senate side that it did make the first pass. We did submit it on the House side through Kiggins, since this is in her area. We haven't heard word yet. I don't know the timing of when they do their first cut of projects that go through, but this town of Watcher Creek is one of the projects that we are working through. And the idea is that whatever money that gets left over from the town of Chincoteague, town of Watcher Creek, that gets swept into the Onane Hawk plant upgrade costs. So the money does, any earmarked money or congressionally directed spended money gets allocated towards this. That's a strategy. Agenda item number five. Eastern Shore Infrastructure Improvements Transmission Force Main Phase 1 property acquisition from the Commonwealth of Virginia, the College of William and Mary. Recommended action is approve the acceptance of property located at the corner of Brooklyn and Riverview Avenues and known as Lot 5A, Block D in the town of Watcher Creek, County of Accomack, Virginia, as offered by the Commonwealth of Virginia, the College of William and Mary, for the site of a future pump station within the town of Watcher Creek. So this one's a pretty simple one. They're giving us this bike for a new pump station at a kind of Watcher Creek price. So this is a deed of gift subdivision plan.
Right. Or pretty quick.
From the city, from Condor, man.
Yeah. So VIMS is out on the Eastern Shore. So they have the main VIMS facility that are out of Watcher Creek.
Okay.
It's a vacant site.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of their development.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. By roll call.
Ellison?
Aye.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lockwall?
Yes.
Levinson?
Yes.
Stern?
Yes.
Thank you. Tarosky?
Yes.
Templeman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, agenda item number 13, Bowers Hill Interceptor Force Main Section 1 Emergency Replacement. This is for an additional appropriation. Recommended action today is approve additional funding in the amount of $473,151. If you recall, there was a line break at 33025 Gunport in Chesapeake in April 23rd, about a year ago, where they found severe corrosion where the pipeline goes under Interstate 664. We declared this an emergency. They tested the soils and found that pipe nearby was also was at potential risk of failure. So we slip lined the 36-inch ductile iron force main, and this is to cover expenses to date as well as those work that's anticipated, the remaining work activities for this project. This amount should close this project out.
Now, motion to approve.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the second.
Templeman,
thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. Roll call.
Ellison?
Aye.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lockdawalla?
Yes.
Levinson?
Yes.
Stern?
Yes.
Thank you. Tarosky?
Yes.
Templeman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 14, this is the Great Bridge Interceptor Force Main Emergency Replacement, a new CIP and initial appropriation. Recommended action today is approve a new CIP project and appropriate total project funding in the amount of $6 million. If you recall, this is related to the dredge spud that hit our line on March 10th, on a Friday, and we are working with our, and they call it a 6-foot damage section to our pipe, and that released 2.5 million gallons into the lock there. So we are working with our insurance company on the claim. We do have video of the dredge from the Great Bridge cameras at the same time that we have a pressure drop. But again, we are working with our insurance companies on the claim, but on a parallel path, we are working on the design to put a new line in. I think further west is the current plan. So we do have a consultant on board to help us with that new line, and that's what this new CIP is for.
What was the name of that bridge again?
Great Bridge Bridge. I found that out. The Great Bridge Bridge. So it's the Great Bridge camps are the way we're going.
So why is it being moved further west?
That's actually where the city put their water line. We were looking to place it in the exact location where it currently is, except apparently there is, it's a Revolutionary War site, historical site, where we would have to drill the hole and directly drill under. We can't do it open cut kind of how it's currently designed, because that there's a lot of traffic that goes through that canal. I was asking probably when I was out there about, can you replace it in place? And it's not possible. And plus, the Corps wants us to go 30 feet deep. So that'd be a heck of a hole. So it is directionally drilled. And so the plan right now is to follow a similar alignment to how the city moved their water line.
Why isn't Brady Bridge
next to this? Oh, you mean the dredge company?
Yeah, the coal operation. It was part of a operation in the river, or whatever it is, that caused the problem.
We agree. We do not think our ratepayers should pay for this. So we are, the plan is if we submit a claim to our insurance company, they would be subrogated, being the insurance company would go after offer dredging to be reimbursed. Okay. That would be the plan. But then the question would be, if the claim doesn't cover 100% of the cost that we'll have to incur, for example, the Corps wants us to remove our existing sewer line there, and that's going to be pretty expensive, but likely maybe the insurance company may not cover that part. So do we sue them for dredging for that remaining portion? So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made moving forward, but we agree with you. We don't think our ratepayers should have to pay for this. So we are, on parallel passive. We have to get this pipeline back in service because it's affecting all kinds of other things. So we had to declare force majeure on another project that needed a diversion that we can't do because we're already in a diversion. So there's all kinds of ripple effects by this damage. But again, we're trying to get a new line back in service as soon as we can. But I agree with you 100%. Our rate payer should not have to pay for this. So we are working with our insurance company. Did I miss anything, Steve?
No, the only thing I would add is it's a parallel path. There's certain costs I think we're going to incur that just aren't covered under normal insurance. And so we have Sands Anderson participating in all the process here. And so at some point when we know what insurance will pay for and we still have damages beyond that, that's the point I think we'll have to make a decision. Is it something we pursue under additional remedies like a lawsuit or that kind of thing? But this isn't going to move quickly. It's going to take a while. I'll be surprised if we have a check from the insurance company within 6 months. If we have to pursue any kind of other remedy, we're talking years. And so it's typical that we have to front the issue. We have to deal with the construction issue. We'll deal with getting paid later. It's part of it. But we're meeting with Travelers. Like Robin, we've had 3 meetings with them already, and we're kind of meeting with them at every milestone, probably every 2 weeks going forward.
So one piece of good news, there was a pump station on the north side of the canal, the west side of the Great Bridge Bridge, that was tied into the portion of the porch main that was on the dead end portion, meaning that it was valved off. So we've had to pump and haul that pump station since that line break at a cost of, I think, $10,000 to $12,000 a week. So this last week, they were able to get that new pump station tied into the active part of the force main. That's just throwing money away when you're just pumping and hauling the pump station. So it just took some time to find the right place where they can tie back in. So that happened in Chesapeake. So that's the goal. So great coordination with the City of Chesapeake. The director of City of Chesapeake has been great. David Jurgens, he's just been awesome to work with. That just to highlight our great partnership with the city. Any further questions? I have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Karofsky, second. Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. By roll call.
Ellison?
Aye.
Glenn?
Yes.
Pakdawala?
Yes.
Levinson?
Yes.
Stern?
Aye.
Thank you. Karofsky?
Yes.
Templeman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 15. This is the Norchester Pump Station screening improvement. This is an initial appropriation. Recommended action today is appropriate total project funding in the amount of $616,896. Norchester Pump Station in Norfolk, just east of downtown. The existing pump station has an inline grinder that failed after only 3 years of service, and that was due to a heavy sand load in the influent that wore down the teeth in the bearings. Also had a lot of heavy metal corrosion due to the high levels of hydrogen sulfide. So this project will design and construct screening upgrades of the inlet before it makes it into the pump station. So that's what the design is for.
What's the whole lifespan of that?
You know, pumps usually last a lot longer than
that. Lifespan on the pump.
Pump or the screening of the grinder?
Right.
The grinder, it used to be longer than that. And the technology, we didn't expect the grit load that we were seeing, the sand load. You know, that's a collection system coming from the city of Norfolk. Mm-hmm. So it was low condition, more expecting to see, and the grinder really was the solution. So we're looking for a screen rather than a grinder. When you try to grind sand, you can guess how that's going to go.
So given that, I mean, have we gone out and checked the other stations to make sure we're not getting the same infiltration?
We only have grinders at a few of their stations. That's not something we use on a regular basis. We knew we were seeing some rags and things that would come in, so the grinder is helpful in that respect. But we didn't realize that we can see as much grit and sand as we can.
Where is it coming from?
The grit and sand or the rags?
Well, no, the grit, yeah.
It's just coming from the collection system. If you've got a leaking collection system, joints are leaking, sand gets into the system on a regular basis. You see heavy sand loads in our treatment plants and pump stations during heavy flows. Like when there's a big storm, we pump a whole lot of flow, and grit hits our treatment plants all of a sudden. So this is kind of a newer neighborhood, but kind of an older neighborhood.
It's Middletown Arch.
Yeah. But there's some older parts of Middletown Arch.
Sure.
Further questions?
Move for approval, Glenn.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. By roll call.
Elison.
Aye.
Blunt.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinson.
Yes.
Stern.
Aye.
Thank you. Tarosky.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number 16. This is the North Shore Automated Diversion Facility that I mentioned earlier. It's for an additional appropriation contract award and task order. Recommended actions today appropriate additional funding in the amount of $616,229. Award a contract to Shaw Construction in the amount of $1,296,000. Approve a task order with RKM A in the amount of $280,402. So this was competitively bid. The engineer's estimate was $1.5 million. The low bid came in at 1.3, so that's good news. But again, these automated diversion facilities, so if you go to the map, those are where the stars are. That's where the valves are going to be located. Again, once these valves are automated, we can divert flow. The initial impetus for this was to take flow off the York River treatment plant because that one, in January, February, March timeframe, they would exceed 95% of the design flow due to inflow and infiltration. So these valves could divert flow in the system and very efficient. But again, once you have these automated valves, it really opens up things to machine learning and things like that. Again, you know, Steve alluded to a company called MNET that we've been working with that helps us equalize flows to the treatment plants using there. It's an interesting, at one point we'll do a presentation on it, an economic-driven supply-demand equation. That's their machine learning algorithm. But it's a really cool project. But again, and once we have more of this type of infrastructure installed in our system, and we have storage tanks now, we've got Providence, we're building TAB, we've got Coliseum, but really we can leverage some of this technology to optimize the system. So this will help us do that.
So we have manual valves now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, majority, vast majority of our valves are manual. Any further questions?
Is there a second?
Go ahead, second.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. By roll call.
Elison.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla. Levinson.
Yes.
Stern.
Aye.
Thank you. Tarosky.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes. Mr. Chair, we are going to move agenda item number 17 to next month.
Correct. Thank you. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? Commissioner comments? public comments related to the agenda. Is there anyone here?
There is no one registered.
Thank you. Informational items, management report, strategic planning, metric summary in the back. We'll look at that. We're going to go into closed meeting, so I'm going to adjourn this meeting for about 5, let's say 10 minutes. We'll come back to
close. We'll close first, and then
right.
Go ahead and read this.
Might need an attorney on one side next time. In accordance with section 2.2-3712A of the Code of Virginia, motion is needed that we go into closed meeting for briefing and consultation with the following items provided for section 2.2-3711A7, item 1, legal matters concerning actual litigation. Number 2, legal matters concerning probable litigation. Are there any questions? Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
No discussion. We'll hear a roll call. Cassio.
Elison.
Aye.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinson.
Yes.
Stern.
Aye.
Thank you. Kurofsky.
Yes.
Templeman.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. We're now in closed session. 3712D of the Code of Virginia. We will now have a roll call vote to certify to the best of each commissioner member's knowledge only in public business matters while the exempted from open meeting requirements under this chapter. And only such public business matters are as were identified in the motion by which it was closed the meeting convened were heard, discussed, and considered. Any commissioners who believe there was a departure of these two requirements shall so state prior to the vote indicating the substance of the departure. Please say yes if you agree and no if you do not. After Ms. Cassio has called your name by roll call.
Okay. Wilson.
Yes, I'm agreeing. No departures.
Correct.
Yes.
Glenn.
Yes.
Lockdawalla.
Yes.
Levinson.
Yes.
Stern.
Yes.
Thank you. Tarofsky. Templeman,
yes,
and Rodriguez.
Yes. All right. We're now in open session. Any comment by the commissioners before we close the meeting now? From you, Brian. Okay, very good. Next meeting of the commission will be May 23rd, Virginia Beach office, since there are no further business. Meetings adjourned.